This is the voice of the Trumpet Magazine. News, economy, politics, trends, discovery, health, family, the Bible, the future. This is Trumpet Hour.
Hello and welcome to Trumpet Hour. I'm Joel Hilliker. The identities of nearly 2 million members of the Chinese Communist Party were leaked this past weekend. And these people are everywhere. They're working in major corporations, in academia, in governments, all over the world. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is really just the latest evidence unmasking the extent of China's efforts to dominate the world. On today's program, we're going to talk about this threat from China. There have been a number of eye-popping stories emerging recently exposing this trend. We've learned about a Chinese spy seducing a member of the House of Representatives serving on the House Intel Committee. We've seen video of a Chinese professor talking about how China has maintained, quote, old friends at the top of America's core inner circle of power and influence. We've seen China's infiltration of America's big tech industry in ways where they were able to affect the outcome of America's recent presidential election. And all of this is against the backdrop of this virus that has completely reshaped the global economy and even geopolitical landscape, which was unleashed by China. We'll talk about these things today, and all this supplies context for what we've been learning about China's efforts to gain influence with America's presumptive next president, Joe Biden, through his son, Hunter Biden. We'll hear a report from Trumpet writer Andrew Miller about that. We'll also hear a report from our correspondent in Australia, Callum Wood, with a look at what China has been doing in his home country, how Australia allowed its elite governmental, economic, and business institutions to be deeply infiltrated by China. And it's just waking up to how much power China has over their country. And after that, we're going to talk to Trumpet writer Richard Palmer about how really this is a picture of America's future if things don't change dramatically. So we want to talk about all this in light of the prophecies of the Bible and show where it is leading. So let's go ahead and dive in. We'll start with a look at these recent revelations about the extent of China's infiltration into America. On Sunday, the world got a phenomenal peek into the inner workings of the Chinese Communist Party. Chinese dissidents hacked a Shanghai server and exposed the identities of nearly 2 million CCP members. This is Sky News' Sherry Markson from this past Saturday.
There has now been a major leak of official records from the Chinese Communist Party. It is believed to be the first leak of its kind in the world. A register with the details of nearly 2 million Communist Party members. What's amazing about this database is not just that it exposes people who are members of the Communist Party, lifts the lid on how the party operates under President and Chairman Xi Jinping. But this leak shows that party branches are embedded in some of the world's biggest companies and even inside government agencies.
This leak also reveals the existence of 79,000 Communist Party branches, many of them that exist inside companies. It shows that CCP members have embedded themselves in institutions that include manufacturers like Boeing and Volkswagen, banks like ANZ and HSBC, at least 10 consulates around the world, pharmaceutical giants Pfizer and AstraZeneca. Both of these companies were involved in developing coronavirus vaccines, and they employed a total of 123 CCP members. Sherry Markson said this.
Communist Party branches have been set up inside Western companies, allowing the infiltration of those companies by CCP members who, if called on, are answerable directly to the Communist Party, to the chairman, the president himself.
This is how the Daily Mail reported on this story. Beijing's malign influence now stretches into almost every corner of British life, including defense firms, banks, and pharmaceutical giants. Most alarmingly, some of its members are understood to have secured jobs in British consulates. Among them is a senior official at the British consulate in Shanghai. Its headquarters is also home to intelligence officers from the UK security services. There's a lot here to be very concerned about. Sky News reported that these dissidents leaked this information back in September to an international group called the Interparliamentary Alliance on China. This is made up of 150 legislators around the world who are concerned about China's activities. And they gave this information to four media organizations: the Australian, the Sunday Mail there in Britain, a Belgian paper, and a Swedish editor. And these people have all been studying it for 2 months. Now they've unleashed it. The question is, what will these nations do about what China has been up to? We haven't yet learned how deep the infiltration into America is. Hopefully this story doesn't just go away, because we need to know who and where these individuals are, what information they have had access to. There's a lot more that needs to come out here. It shows so strongly, so powerfully, how America is dealing with a determined, resourceful enemy. And really, America has been too casual about protecting and defending itself. This hack, this list, exposes companies and universities and governments that simply weren't vigilant enough to protect themselves from intellectual property theft, from espionage, from who knows what else these CCP members might be involved in. Now, all of this news is coming right about the same time as several other stories showing Chinese Communist Party activity and revealing just how aggressive China is in advancing its interest in whatever means it needs to. And all of this is against the backdrop of everything that China has been open about in terms of gaining economic dominance over Asia and beyond, its Belt and Road Initiative, clamping down on freedoms within Hong Kong, chasing after dominance over Taiwan, carrying out genocide against the Uyghur Muslim population within its borders, militarizing the South China Sea, using debt trap diplomacy to increase its influence over several other countries, snapping up strategic sea gates. All of these things have been more out in the open. What we're learning about now is what the CCP is doing behind the scenes. This is activity that has been going on for years in some cases. Axios just published a year-long investigation about a Chinese spy who developed relationships with several politicians in America at both the national and local level between 2011 and 2015. And most prominent among them was Congressman Eric Swalwell, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee. This Chinese woman, Fang Fang, she's a member of China's Ministry of State Security. Beijing had her assigned as an undercover operative in America for years. And according to Axios, her mission was to target up-and-coming local politicians in the Bay Area and across the country who had the potential to make it big on the national stage. Axios wrote this: through campaign fundraising, extensive networking, personal charisma, and romantic or sexual relationships with at least two Midwestern mayors, Feng was able to gain proximity to political power, according to current and former U.S. intelligence officials and one former elected official. Now, at the time, back in 2015, federal investigators stepped in and told Eric Swalwell about this woman, and he cut off all ties to her at that point. But that means there have been people who have known about this for 5 years, and they didn't seem particularly concerned about it. The Trump administration didn't know about it, or they would have said something, especially as this man, Congressman Swalwell, was so strongly attacking President Trump for being compromised by the Russians. I mean, you go back and you listen to things that Swalwell said about Donald Trump, and the irony is remarkable. But you have a lot of Democrats or people who are around Representative Swalwell who apparently don't think that Chinese meddling is anything to be concerned about. Nancy Pelosi said, "I don't have any concern about Mr. Swalwell." Republicans are asking that an investigation be opened immediately, especially given the fact that Swalwell had access to highly sensitive information regarding America's intelligence operations, the kind of information a Chinese spy would love to get. He had that by virtue of his role in the House Intelligence Committee. But again, the Democratic Party seems unconcerned about these links with communist China. Now, meanwhile, similar revelations have emerged about China's efforts to gain influence with Joe Biden through his son, Hunter Biden, as we will now hear in this report from Andrew Miller.
The Chinese Communist Party may have compromised Joe Biden's family. On December 9th, Biden's son, Hunter, admitted that he was being investigated by a grand jury through the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware. This investigation is examining Hunter Biden's tax affairs, which were flagged by the U.S. Senate for potential financial criminal activity. According to a September 23rd report from the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Hunter received $5 million from CEFC China Energy, a company with close ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Hunter also received a 2.8-carat diamond from CEFC China founder Yi Jianming and $1 million from former Hong Kong minister Patrick Ho Chi Ping. Since Hunter's association with Yi began when his father was vice president of the United States, they raise grave concerns that China was attempting to bribe the Obama administration by giving money to the Bidens. Since Yi Jianming and his associate, Gong Wendong, were also doing business with Joe Biden's younger brother, James Biden, it appears there is a web of corporate connections between the Biden family and Chinese nationals. Emails recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop reveal that Hunter used an alias, Hudson West III, to open up a credit line with Guangdong on the same day that CEFC China Energy announced a $9.1 billion deal to buy a stake in Russia's state-owned energy company, Rosneft. Along with his uncle James and his aunt Sarah, Hunter used this credit line to spend more than $100,000 on airline tickets, technology products, and hotel rooms. The U.S. Senate flagged all these transactions for potential financial criminal activity. And another email recovered from Hunter Biden's laptop revealed that an anonymous individual referred to as the big guy was also a shareholder in the deal with CEFC China Energy. Hunter's critics have speculated that the big guy is actually Joe Biden himself, since Hunter and James Biden were mentioned already in the email, and Joe Biden had the biggest need for anonymity. Further details about Hunter Biden's illicit business ventures were made public even before the Senate report was published. On September 5th, the head of the Florida-based Government Accountability Institute released a documentary titled Riding the Dragon, The Biden's Chinese Secrets. This documentary reveals that Hunter Biden also worked for a Shanghai investment firm to sell American technology to the Chinese military. When Hunter Biden was a director at Bohai Harvest RST, the firm purchased a U.S. auto parts manufacturer. The Obama administration actually had to approve this deal since Bohai Harvest RST has ties to the Chinese military, and the U.S. auto parts manufacturer in question produces goods with military applications. According to the documentary's maker, Peter Schweizer, we also know that these deals didn't just make the Bidens money. They had potentially dangerous consequences for our national security. Hunter quietly maintains an ownership stake in the firm, a stake worth millions of dollars, and stands to be worth even more as its Chinese partners prosper. A report from the Media Research Center estimates that 9% of Biden voters would have not have cast a ballot for the Democratic candidate if they had known about his family's ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Yet virtually the entire journalistic establishment covered up this story until after the presidential election, and even defamed the New York Post for being one of the few networks to report on Hunter Biden's business connections before the election. Facebook executives deliberately changed their search algorithms to limit users' ability to share the Biden story, and Twitter blocked the New York Post account. Failing to report on a story as serious as the Chinese infiltration of U.S. politics is a serious dereliction of duty. Yet there may be a very logical reason why the mainstream media is covering for the Biden family. On December 15th, Fox News contributor Molly Hemingway noted that few reporters are willing to report on Hunter Biden's overseas business ventures or on Representative Eric Swalwell's relationship with a Chinese spy because they are implicated in this overarching story. Here's a clip from her interview on Fox and Friends.
Well, it's just amazing. Eric Swalwell and the New York Times both put forth a conspiracy theory that Donald Trump was an agent of Russia. They did that despite the lack of evidence, and they did it for year after year. And now you have Eric Swalwell, someone who sits on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, actually involved with a Chinese spy, and they're not even mentioning it. I think partly it's because it's embarrassing, again, to them. But it also might be that our media, many people in our media, are worried about saying anything against China. And this is a big concern that people have about the influence China has over a lot of elite institutions in this country, whether it's the academy, the media, the Democratic Party, Hollywood. People are afraid to say anything against China because of their power. And so I think it's actually even much worse than the normal liberal bias.
In other words, if the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated academia, the mainstream media, Hollywood, big tech, and the Washington political establishment, none of these institutions can risk exposing the Chinese Communist Party without exposing themselves. America's elite are betraying America's interest for Chinese money.
This is a huge story. These ties between China and the Biden family are becoming plainer all the time. Now, do you think China wanted Donald Trump to remain in the White House? Right alongside all this evidence about Hunter Biden, there's mounting evidence that China did all it could to guarantee a Joe Biden victory in this past presidential election. First, you have all this evidence that Beijing tried to influence the election via the media. I'll just read one excerpt from a Cato Institute report from this past September 4th. Between 2016 and 2020, the People's Republic of China government and state-controlled publications such as China Daily paid American newspapers more than $11 million for issue advertising and the inclusion of inserts and supplements that are designed to mimic straight news stories. Now, this is just one of many, many examples showing how strongly China was involved in trying to sway public opinion. But beyond that, White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien warned last year that China was targeting U.S. election infrastructure with cyber attacks. There was a report in Bloomberg News, January 9th, 2020, highlighting the fact that Chinese hardware in U.S. voting machines was a threat. The title of this report, Chinese Technology and Voting Machines Seen as an Emerging Threat, the infiltration by foreign countries like China into election voting equipment is emerging as a growing concern among vendors who are actually asking for more federal regulation as they grapple with a lack of domestic suppliers producing critical technologies. On top of that, you know, these Dominion voting machines that are all over America. The CEO of that company, Dominion CEO John Poulos, he gave testimony before Congress saying that Dominion voting machines were built with Chinese hardware from the screen on the interface down to the chip component level. And litigation attorney Dana Jill Simpson alleged that Flex China manufactured Dominion voting machines Flex China manufactured Dominion voting machines in cooperation with Huawei Technologies. The private equity firm Staples Street Capital owns a controlling interest in Dominion voting systems. And just a month before the election, this private equity firm received $400 million from UBS Securities. That's a Swiss investment bank that is 75% owned by the Chinese government. Now, there's a lot of information here. There's a lot to show that China is working to make inroads into America's politics and that it actively sought to affect the election result and may well have succeeded far more than we recognize. These connections need to be more thoroughly investigated. But it seems that all too often America's leaders don't pay enough attention to this type of information, or nothing is done about it. It comes out, it emerges, but then nothing is done to change it. China has definitely proven itself to be devious and determined and aggressive. And put all of this information against the backdrop of these revelations from Professor Di Dongsheng of the School of International Studies at Renmin University. Video emerged of a speech that he gave November 28th. In this speech, he suggests that China helped Hunter Biden obtain lucrative business deals in an effort to influence American policy via a network of sympathizers. This man in the video, he's speaking in Chinese, but what the translation says is, why is it that between 1992 and 2016, we always resolved issues with the U.S.? 1992 was, of course, the start of Bill Clinton's presidency, and then that takes you right up through George Bush and Barack Obama, and right up to 2016 when Donald Trump took office. And this Chinese professor lists several crises, several problems that arose between the U.S. and China, and he says they were all resolved in no more than 2 months. Why? He says, now I'm going to drop a bomb. Because we had people up there inside America's core circle of power. We had our old friends. And he said this, you all heard that Trump said Biden's son has securities companies all over the world, but who helped Biden's son build his global companies? You understand? There are indeed buy and sell transactions involved here. This man explicitly stated that China is helping American politicians get rich in return for political favors that benefit China. Why is this not banner news in America? Why isn't there more alarm in media circles and in political circles? Why is, in spite of all of this, why is Nancy Pelosi unconcerned about a member of the House Intelligence Committee being in an intimate relationship with a member of China's Ministry of State Security? Why are mainstream companies so quiet about all of these very troubling stories? Why are the tech companies all in lockstep trying to suppress information about Chinese influence? Well, Molly Hemingway talked about it in that report from Andrew Miller. It all shows really how much influence China has gained over these elite institutions in this country. The academy, the media, the Democratic Party, Hollywood. As she said, people are afraid to say anything because of their power. Lee Smith wrote an article this past summer in Tablet Magazine talking about this very thing. The title of the article was America's China Class Launches a New War Against Trump. America's China Class. That's the term Lee Smith uses for these elites who have been bought off in one way or another by China. And Smith blames a lot of the attacks on President Trump on this group of elites. They're going after him, he says, largely because Trump sought to decouple the United States from the Chinese Communist Party. He says that's the reason that America's China class, which owns the platforms on which Americans communicate, has waged a relentless campaign of information warfare against him through its social media and prestige media brands. Lee Smith wrote this: the source of the purposeful disinformation pouring into the American public sphere like untreated sewage is the American elite, led by its tech oligarchs who own the platforms on which information campaigns are staged and laundered to protect their core interests, foremost among them being cheap Chinese labor and access to Chinese markets. We talked about this with Jeremiah Jacques on the program last week about companies like Nike and the NBA that are so willing to do business with China in spite of so much to prove that they really do not have a good track record at all with respect to human rights and other issues. They continue to do business and they're very comfortable and they're making a lot of money out of those contracts. Lee Smith continues, the central pillar of the corrupt new order is the American elite's relationship with China. And this is an interesting point. He says American political and corporate elites didn't choose decline. They chose to get rich. By shipping America's manufacturing base off to China, they seized a business opportunity the likes of which had never been seen before, an enormous captive labor force controlled by an authoritarian regime that guaranteed the steady production of goods at a fraction of what it would cost at home. So he's saying these people in the U.S. establishment and these business interests in America, they've sold out to the Chinese, but it wasn't because they wanted to destroy the country. They just wanted to get wealthy. But the effect is it's destroying the country. And they're too blinded by self-interest to see what they're doing to the country. And in far too many cases, these people actually do want America to be passed up by other nations. They don't like America's standing as the superpower of the world and the premier economic power of the world. They want it to be surpassed by other nations. And why not China? This is continuing in Lee Smith's article. American cultural elites, Hollywood, sports, art, etc., who exploited the increasingly large Chinese market for their products, provided cover for the China class cohort with messaging that dovetailed with CCP propaganda. He says, who were Americans to judge a great and ancient civilization like China's for jailing dissidents and enslaving the Uyghur minority? Doesn't America have its own history of slavery and political prisoners? It's racist to protect American jobs. Those jobs aren't coming back, and there's nothing to be done about it, as Barack Obama famously said. The people who are making these decisions, they either suffer from terrible myopia, serious lack of strategic understanding and vision, or, and maybe, and in far too many cases, they don't like America. They don't want America to remain the world's foremost superpower. Whatever their reasons, this is having a devastating effect. Since the Clinton White House granted China most favored nation trade status in 2000, over 3.7 million American jobs have been lost to China, mostly in America's manufacturing sector. Now, President Trump, he started a trade war with China, and that earned him the enmity of the Bidens and the whole China class in America, which has grown wealthy, helping China become a world-class power by offshoring America's industrial strength. So it's no wonder Trump was such an enemy. It's no wonder China doubled down in its efforts to infiltrate the United States with communist sympathizers who were willing to turn this around and again help Beijing to grow in power. And in this presidential election, thanks to all of these efforts, you had millions of Americans voting for a presidential candidate with connections to China that strongly indicate his being on board with this program. Joe Biden is one of those old friends that Professor D was talking about. He's a man who isn't going to fight China the way that President Trump has been fighting China. He's going to help China to realize its ambitions, even if it comes at America's expense. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll look at Australia. If you want an idea of how deep China's influence can get, look at what is happening in this country. It gives chilling insight into just how tough China can get. And later, we'll look at how these trends actually propel forward the prophecies of the Bible. We'll be right back.
This is Trumpet Hour with Joel Hilliker.
China is buying out big in Australia. Neither the land, the sea, or the sky have been immune to the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP's, influence. Chinese foreign investing has been facilitated first through the political system. For years, China has been securing deals by greasing palms in Canberra. A Four Corners report from June 2017 found that CCP-affiliated billionaires had been donating millions of dollars to various Australian political parties for decades. These men stand in the grey area between businessmen and politicians back home in China. The report focuses on three businessmen in particular, who have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars and been seen rubbing shoulders with Australian political elites. One such man, at the CCP's 66th anniversary, stated, "We overseas Chinese unswervingly support the Chinese government's decision to defend our national sovereignty and territorial integrity. We support the development of the motherland, always." Even though the government has since moved to ban political donations, China is also securing favour by giving lucrative jobs to retiring politicians. Andrew Robb, for instance, was Australia's special envoy on trade, and during his time in office, Mr. Robb signed off on a Chinese 99-year lease of the Port of Darwin. Upon his retirement, Mr. Robb went to work for a CCP-affiliated organisation called Landbridge, the company now leasing the Port of Darwin. Now, that $500 million deal to lease the port was made without notifying the United States, which operates a military site from that very same port. Chinese companies also have a 99-year lease of the Port of Newcastle and a large share in the Port of Melbourne. China also secured a similar 100-year lease of the Western Australian Meriden Airport, all for the lofty price of just $1. The Chinese also own some 9 million hectares of land, several coal mines, and even wind farms. Then there are ports, energy companies, dairy producers, cattle stations, vineyards, waterfront mansions, and even country estates. Not to mention the tens of thousands of middle-income homes snapped up by Chinese investors. At the end of 2019, China was ranked the 9th largest foreign investor in Australia, coming in at an estimated $78.2 billion. However, the CCP also masks its investing through companies operating out of Hong Kong. At $141 billion worth, Hong Kong is Australia's 5th largest investor. Combined, the two control a vast slice of total foreign investment in Australia. Beyond Australia's borders, China is aggressively expanding its influence throughout Southeast Asia. Using the Belt and Road Initiative, China is leveraging debt in countries for airfields and port facilities, and all right on Australia's doorstep. While Australia donates generously to its neighbours, these donations come with strings attached. Investment must go towards schools or hospitals. Beijing has no such qualms, exploiting the widespread corruption in the region. In one instance, the Papua New Guinean government purchased 43 Maseratis from China for an APEC summit. Australia is not immune from the lucrative Belt and Road Initiative. Even Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has signed off on the deal despite the evidence of China's mounting aggression towards Australia. In May 2019, for instance, China carried out a major cyber attack on the eve of general elections. Three of the primary political parties were targeted. The federal government attempted a cover-up, only for the story to be exposed by Reuters. At the time, US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo criticized Australia's reluctance to stand up to the Chinese, saying, "You can sell your soul for a pile of soybeans, or you can protect your people." Since that time, Australia has descended into a one-sided trade war with China. After Australia spearheaded a UN inquiry into the origins of COVID-19, China has worked to make an example of the Australian nation. At first, Beijing dissuaded students and tourists from travelling to Australia. Then came bans on barley, then wheat, then coal, sugar, copper, and timber. A number of major abattoirs and seafood producers were also banned. The Australian wine industry was hit with heavy tariffs as well. China is Australia's largest export market, and with no alternatives, Australia has been forced into taking the bruising economic reprisals. And all the government can manage in response is to call for de-escalation and apologies, which will never come. Australia has got itself mixed up with foreign powers beyond its control. And this is just what God prophesies in Hosea 7 and verse 7. It states, "Ephraim allows himself to be mixed up with foreigners." And verse 9, "Foreigners eat away at his strength, unknown to him." Australia's heritage is bound up in the British Empire, which itself is comprised of the descendants of the Israelitish tribe of Ephraim. And in verse 11, God calls these descendants, all throughout the British Empire, including Australia, God calls them a silly, senseless dove. In a world where God describes hostile nations as leopards, lions, bears, and other beasts, what chance does a dove have? Only by turning back to the God who ruled over Ephraim and the other tribes can Australia ever hope to untangle itself from Chinese interference.
What has happened in Australia really does expose China's malicious intent in many ways. And what we see happening in Australia really helps to put in perspective what is happening in America. You see where these kinds of ties with China lead to. We're going to talk a bit more about this with trumpet writer Richard Palmer, who we have via Skype from our office in Britain. Hello, Richard.
Good afternoon.
So, in his report, Mr. Wood alluded to this, but the Chinese Communist Party's influence in Australian politics goes quite deep. It was very involved in trying to steer even the nation's elections. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yes. So in 2017, Australia's public TV station, ABC, they had a report showing that billionaires associated with the Chinese Communist Party had donated millions to Australia's different political parties, and that they'd worked hard to cultivate ties with all of these different elite politicians. Then there was a bombshell book that came out in 2018 called Silent Invasion by an ethics professor at the Charles Sturt University, talking about just how thoroughly China had infiltrated Australia, how that it had come into China's corporation or Australia's corporations, universities, the government, exactly things that we're seeing more and more reports come out about China doing in the United States. All of this kicked off a big scandal in Australia at the time. It led to a senator resigning. The nation changed its rules on how it dealt with political donations from abroad. We've also seen China hacking Australia. I think we heard about that a bit in the report, hacking into Australia's parliament in the run-up to an election, and then also hacking all of Australia's major political parties. Just pretty blatant interference in the entire political system in a whole number of ways. And then even offering cushy jobs to people that did favors for China, you know, where you could, when you finished your government job, you can retire and get a nice pay from a Chinese state-linked firm.
So in spite of all of this evidence, and really because of the activity that China has been doing to try to buy politicians off and to get them on side, you still have, in spite of all of this that has been exposed, a number of Australian politicians who are actually quite favorable to China.
That's right. And I think this is where a lot of that economic ties that we heard about into the report, that's always going to translate into political influence, especially when you've got an autocratic country like China that can use it. You know, if China is Australia's number one trading partner, 1/3 of all of Australia's exports go to China. Over the summer, that reached half. So, you know, Chinese sanctions are going to mean mass unemployment in certain areas. And if you're a politician for one of those areas, you're going to listen very carefully to what China says. And so between that kind of dark influence that we talked about earlier, that economic influence, that means you've got a lot of places that are, where leaders almost seem more loyal to China than they are to Australia in this trade war. So, for example, in Victoria, you've got the state premier, Dan Andrews. He signed in 2009, he signed an agreement to join China's Belt and Road Initiative. You know, this is, it's almost weird. It'd be like Texas signing a deal with Russia or joining the collective security arrangement or something like that. It was a bizarre decision, but he's pulling a province in Australia off into Chinese orbit. And then as this trade war has unfolded, Dan Andrews has been very critical of what the government has been doing. The Queensland Premier has also been kind of urging a quick end to this deal. Of course, you've got a lot of business people that have lucrative ties to China, media moguls with lucrative ties to China that are all saying, look, forget the principled stand, forget standing up to China when it comes to human rights violations and coronavirus, forget about all of that. We have got to favor jobs and the economy, because if we don't, they're going to destroy us.
Well, that really does point to just how much Australia has leveraged its position relative to China, that it just doesn't have much power. China has been, it's infiltrated to the point where its power really has grown quite extensive. It's got a lot of leverage here, and it's really happy to weaponize it.
That's right. And this is where you really see what's coming to the United States. You know, China has presented Australia with a 14-point ultimatum, with a list of demands, things like you've got to stop criticizing the Chinese government. No more talk about human rights violations. No more criticizing the Chinese government over coronavirus. No more investigations into where coronavirus came from. You've got to open up your country to even more to Chinese investments. No kind of national security restrictions. You've got to give our companies free rein to your economy. You must sign this ultimatum or we're going to continue waging trade war against you. And I think some of these business leaders that are pointing out the economic damage, I think they could well be right.
Right.
For Australia, it might genuinely come down to a choice. I mean, their economy has already been devastated by the coronavirus and some of the massive debt and things like that. So, you know, their choice may be absolute economic devastation or submitting to China's ultimatum. It's hard to see how they get out of this with either of those two options.
Yeah, all of this that we're talking about just really should ring in the ears of Americans, as we're seeing so much of these stories emerging of just how extensive China's infiltration into America has been. It's the same tactics that we see in Australia. It's just more further advanced down there. But you can definitely see China's intent, and you can see where this road leads.
Yeah, and this is exactly what the Bible says is coming to America as well. You know, there are all of these prophecies saying that the United States is going to besiege. There's a forecast of Isaiah chapter 23 talks about a mart of nations, a group of nations, including China, that get together and, yeah, have an ultimatum of some kind to the United States, or at least, you know, you submit to us or you're going to face sanctions. You're going to face trade war. Now, with an economy the size of the United States, those prophecies show it's not China alone that engages in this economic warfare. They have allies. They get together with Europe. But, I mean, you see where this is going in Australia. The Bible tells us exactly where this is going as well. You know, submit, or we're going to use all of these levers that we're gathering right now against you.
That is certainly true. We thank you very much for that, Richard. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll get into exactly those prophecies that Richard just referenced. We'll see more specifically what the future of these problems between America and China really are leading to. We'll be right back.
This is Trumpet Hour.
America's Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal December 3rd. This man has access to more intelligence than any member of the government beside the president. And he wrote this: "If I could communicate one thing to the American people from this unique vantage point, it is that the People's Republic of China poses the greatest threat to America today and the greatest threat to democracy and freedom worldwide since World War II. Now, this man doesn't understand Bible prophecy, which speaks of other threats that will take America down. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what a warning. He writes, "The intelligence is clear. Beijing intends to dominate the U.S. and the rest of the planet economically, militarily, and technologically. That is China's goal." Ratcliffe talks about its economic espionage, its intellectual property theft, which America's government estimates costs this country as much as $500 billion a year. He says China also steals sensitive U.S. defense technology to fuel President Xi Jinping's aggressive plan to make China the world's foremost military power. U.S. intelligence shows that China has even conducted human testing on members of the People's Liberation Army in hope of developing soldiers with biologically enhanced capabilities. There are no ethical boundaries to Beijing's pursuit of power. China believes that a global order without it at the top is a historical aberration. It aims to change that and reverse the spread of liberty around the world." And when you look at all the activities that we've talked about on the program today, you see this plan playing out. It's becoming increasingly plain. China is working to replace America as the world's dominant superpower. I want to just play a brief quote from Gerald Fleury on The Key of David, a program called The Times of the Gentiles from March 20th, 2018. This is what Mr. Fleury said.
"Surely, if we stop and think about this, with China doing all that and making all these deals and paying all that money, what is their goal? What is their ambition? Surely we must see a strong motivation there to, take over the world, to conquer the world, and some of the Chinese leaders will even tell you that."
Given the seriousness of this threat, America's leaders should be sounding the alarm. And if our eyes are open to what's happening here, we have to acknowledge that China is already having considerable success. Look at what China is doing already under the authoritarian regime of Xi Jinping, and then hold that up against the history of communist dictatorships, and you realize just how deadly serious this is. Look at the kinds of nightmares that Xi's fellow champions of communism have perpetrated. one of Mongolia's fiercest dictators killed tens of thousands of his own people. Cambodia's Pol Pot killed almost 2 million of his fellow Cambodians. You have Joseph Stalin, who slaughtered somewhere between 20 million and 60 million of his own people. Under Mao Zedong, Xi's recent predecessor, 65 to 75 million Chinese people were starved, tortured, bullied to suicide, or executed. Western leaders who are giving in to China think that these kinds of atrocities could never happen again, but they are woefully mistaken. The title of that Key of David program points to what the Bible says about this. The time of America's domination in the world is nearly over, and the world is entering what the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles, a very dark and violent period when other nations gain the dominant position in world affairs. China is one in partnership with Russia, and there will be a brutal European power, a resurrection of the medieval Holy Roman Empire, also on the scene. Prophecy shows that these empires, these multinational alliances, are going to work together to bring America down. They'll join together in a grand alliance, what the prophet Isaiah described as a mart of nations aimed at shutting America out of world trade. This is a trading alliance in which Chittim, a biblical name for China, plays a major role. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 23. Prophecies show that America will be besieged, economically attacked by a consortium of other nations. You can see the resolve that will bind this future alliance. And in some ways, you can see the alliance developing as well. And it's shameful that despite all this evidence, you still have American leaders downplaying the threat and acting like the problem will just go away if we cooperate with China. Here's Joe Biden just before the election.
We talk about China. I said, China's not our problem. China's not our problem if we invest and remember who we are. Imagine the situation. I've spent more time with Xi Jinping than any world leader had before I left the vice presidency.
America is the modern-day descendant of the ancient nation of Israel. God repeatedly warned the Israelites against forsaking his law and looking elsewhere to other nations for inspiration and guidance. In Isaiah 2 and verse 6, he says, "Therefore you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers." The modern descendants of Israel are making the same mistake. Instead of trusting God to bless them and to defend them, our people have recognized and traded with communist dictatorships and even invited communist professors from China and other nations to teach our youth. This has corrupted our young people. It sapped our economic strength. It has fatally weakened our nation. With this naivety and lack of understanding, we've made ourselves exceedingly vulnerable to China and these other nations, which are taking advantage of that. Prophecy shows that ultimately it won't be China that destroys America. It will be the European beast power. But our editor-in-chief, Gerald Flory, makes an interesting point in his booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. He points to a prophecy in Daniel 11. We refer to this a lot. The European superpower called the King of the North destroys a Middle Eastern Iranian-led power, the King of the South, and it thrashes its way through that region in a rampage of destruction. Verse 44 in Daniel 11 says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to take away many." Here's what Mr. Flory wrote about this. "The King of the North, the Holy Roman Empire, will hear troubling tidings from the East and North. These tidings come after the King of the South has been destroyed. They come from the Asian Axis. The Holy Roman Emperor will be disturbed about what the Russians and Chinese are doing." Before this, when the tribulation began, this emperor was cooperating with the Russians and the Chinese to besiege the Anglo-Saxon nations economically. But perhaps he hears rumors that the Asian Axis is planning to invade North America and conquer it for its own. regardless of what the exact tidings are, the Bible is clear that it will be the Holy Roman Empire that single-handedly invades North America. And this passage is clear that these tidings will provoke the emperor to go forth with great fury to destroy. If you know Bible prophecy, you know the times ahead are going to be very bad for America. You know that China is going to play a major role in the terrifying times of the Gentiles just ahead. You know that China will unite with Russia in a genuine alliance, and they'll also cooperate with Europe in a temporary alliance to undermine America. And you know that Europe will be the power that ultimately takes America out. But just in case, knowing that, you minimize the threat from China. You should be aware that based on this prophecy in Daniel, it could well be China's activities weakening America that provokes this European power to take preemptive action. And that prophetic possibility puts all these threats from China on an altogether more meaningful level. There's no doubt that what China is doing is weakening America. And if not for Donald Trump, this man that Chinese professor said they could not fix, it would likely quickly prove disastrous for a Biden-led America. But even with Donald Trump in the presidency, the United States is doing untold damage to itself, allowing China to undermine our republic. Watch what is happening here and know that God is in charge. These events are fulfilling the prophecies that he spelled out in his Bible thousands of years ago. Heed the warnings of prophecy and realize that what we are seeing are the early stages of the very last events described in biblical prophecy before the greatest event in history, the return of Jesus Christ. I'm Joel Hilliker, and that'll do it for today's Trumpet Hour. You can send me any thoughts on the program today to letters@thetrumpet.com. Thanks to my guests, Andrew Miller, Callum Wood, and Richard Palmer. Thanks to Nick Irwin and Dwight Falk for engineering and production. I'll leave you with this thought from John Stuart Mill. War is an ugly thing, but not the ugliest of things. The decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling, which thinks that nothing is worth war, is much worse. Thank you for joining us on Trumpet Hour. Until next time, keep watching your world.
You've been listening to Trumpet Hour on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. And online at kpcg.fm. Understand your world.